Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He is the one that made me stay here and be together with you. And he has really answered my prayers for many, many years. And to be here with you, I'm not sure if you can imagine what that means for me. Because living in Norway, totally alone, of course the Lord is always with me. But to not have fellowship and not have the possibility to go to his house and be together with his saints, I don't have words for it, you know, because this is so important and it's such a love from the Lord giving me this. You are so privileged, you know, to stay here in Singapore and have this ministry, you know, given by the Lord. And you can come here every Sunday, you know, and have fellowship and hear what the Lord is speaking and teaching us, you know, every day. And also this is what I want to give a testimony about. Because I was supposed to come here and stay here until the 11th of December. And I was very excited because I heard that Brother Niles was coming here before I left, before I should leave on the 11th. But then some troubles, some things happened, and he will not come when I was here. So I was starting worrying, you know, because I want so much to meet him and have fellowship. And I had already booked my ticket to Switzerland to be together with my family for Christmas. And I have three grandchildren. That is, they really is longing for me to come, you know. So I had a really troublesome time because what should I do? Should I extend my stay, or shall I go as I was supposed to do? And I was really praying to the Lord, and suddenly his word came to me, you know, and he said, "Who is your family? Who is my family?" And I understood, of course, I'm in the middle of my family, you know, and Brother Knight is coming, and he is also a part of my family. So it became so natural for me that, okay, I have to stay here.
Amen.
I have to, I know this is the will for the Lord, will for me to stay here. No? And I also fear this is turning a corner for me, because it's very easy, you know, it's very difficult actually, it's not easy, it's very difficult to let go of the family, your natural family, you know. Not let go of them, but in this case, you know, in the Christmas time, we are together and all these things. But there is the love of the Lord in my heart, you know. I know that I have to make a choice. And I'm so happy, and I'm so grateful to the Lord, you know, that he makes it actually very easy for me to do this. When I saw this and I heard what he was saying to me, then I think, oh, praise the Lord. You are always taking care of me. You are always, no matter how difficult and how worried I am, you know, you are always there to comfort me and to give me answers. So praise the Lord. So God bless you. And I also want to say, I'm so happy for all of you, you know. I have been together with many of you, and it's so nice, you know, just to have fellowship, just to talk and about the Lord, and to go around and walk, and you know, it means so much for me, you know. And I also want to thank you, Dr. George and Brother Hannah, you know, for this wonderful hotel, you know, I'm staying in. Because if it wasn't for you, I could never have been here also. So praise the Lord, and may he bless you abundantly, you know. And yeah. And of course also, Brother God, you know, this blessed brother, you know, When I went into his website 2 years ago, you know, I had to meet this man, you know, and from the first time I came here, you know, he has been so, it's just like I'm working with the Lord, you know, I'm working with him. It's so relaxing, it's so inspiring, and it lifts me up. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Our strength on the mountain, my Lord. The Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your grace today. For another day, Lord, we can come together before your throne to learn of you. Thank you, Father, for this hour that we live in. Now we know we are at the end of the age for the gospel, Lord, to be closed out and return back to the Jew. But we know also, Lord, before you can take your bride to be with you, there will be the early and the latter rain. And we thank you, Lord, for that early rain, the teaching rain of the Holy Spirit according to thy word, Lord, teaching us all that which we should know. To be based upon a strong foundation, to stand on a strong foundation, build up in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for for moving us from glory to glory, from one state of metamorphosis to another stage. For Lord, we're truly changing into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you because your word give us that nutrients, Lord, the nourishment, the living word of life, the bread from heaven, the living fountain of living water that flows into us, because you have said, Lord, they that believe in you are from his belly shall flow fountains of living water. And so, Father, we are thankful that we are alive in Christ Jesus. We are born again, never to die evermore. And we thank you, Father. So now, even as you approach thy word, Lord, and with our understanding, teach us thy word. Teach us or give us understanding. Because, Lord, even as you said that you desire mercy and not sacrifice, you desire the knowledge of thy word in us, Father. Truly, Lord, the people know. Many of your people perish for lack of knowledge of thy word. May we have the understanding, O Lord, full of understanding of the word of God and the wisdom of Christ in our life. So bless us today, right now, Father, and our hearts to thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May we sit. And let us go to the book of Acts chapter 11. Alright, Acts chapter 11, now we are on verse 19, and we already have seen what was in the first 18 verses, and where the Apostle Peter was moved by the Spirit of God, shown the vision, as much as he, as God also shown the vision and dealt with the Cornelius. And so that prepared the way, God spoke, speak on both sides, so that Peter would not be caught, you know, by surprise that the gospel is now being given to the Jew. God is now, you know, giving the gospel to the Jew. So now we realize then that Peter went and preached the word, and while he was still preaching, the Holy Spirit came down upon the believers. And so Peter received the sign. And witnessed by six other Jewish brethren that accompanied him. And so now in verse 19, here we have a new record of what happened after Stephen was martyred. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia. Well, that's the way the Greek pronounce Phoenicia. Okay, it's Phoenicia. Which is, of course, you probably pronounce it Phoenicia, but as today's word will be Phoenicia. Alright? So, what changes? And Cyprus is Cupres. Cupres. You know, that's Greek. Alright? And Cyrene is, well, Kios, something like that. So, but we will try to pronounce it the way we understand, right? And Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but also to the Jews only. So, when the persecution came after Stephen was stoned and martyred, and a lot of Christians, of course, are just running away from, you know, in Jerusalem, Judea, because they're being hunted down. And so they scattered abroad, as far, of course, as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Now this Antioch here, of course, you all know where Cyprus is? What that means, if you do not know, you should, you know, when you study the Bible, read the Bible. You know, when you read the book of Acts, I think many of us probably don't read the Bible through one time, as I said. You should read the Bible through at least once. Okay? Now if you look at the book of Acts and all that which, practically the book of Acts is about the journey and the work of the apostle. But as the Spirit moved them. And there are many islands mentioned, many cities mentioned, many provinces mentioned. So you need to at least have an image of the Mediterranean region. And you all know the Mediterranean Sea. I hope you are acquainted with it. The south of the Mediterranean Sea is the coastline of North Africa, which are Morocco, Liberia, all right, Egypt, and then on the eastern side is the coastline of the Canaan land. Of course, it will be Lebanon, Syria, and Antioch is in Syria. This Antioch, the matter mentioned, is in Syria. All right, and on the north coast, of course, you have Turkey, then on way westward, you can see Greece, and then after the western, a bit more, and you can see the long peninsula that look like a boot. You know? Of course, that is Italy. And at the tip of the boot of that is an island called Sicilia. And on the west, and the other island, then go over to the west extreme, out where you have the Strait of Gibraltar, you have Spain right there on the west. So at least you have an image. And so Cyprus is actually on the northeast of the Mediterranean area, very close to Antioch, all right, and very close to Turkey, which is in the north. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecian, preaching the Lord Jesus. So Cyrene is another, is a place down in an island, okay, which is down southwest. I think that island should be Sicily. Crete, sorry. Now I got it. It's Crete. C-R-E-T-E, not Crete. That's it. So, and which when they come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecian, preaching the Lord Jesus. So now when we study the scripture, we need to understand about the word that is used in the Bible. If you look at verse 19, it said when they were scattered. Now, remember the gospel had already been given to the Gentile, Colinius, in Caesarea, right? Okay? Now, then the next verse in 19, we read that the Jews were scattered. This is a record. After the record of the gospel going to the Gentile, now the record begins with the scattering. So it appeared that in verse 19 he said that the last part, preaching the words to none, but unto the Jews only. So of course the Jews were scattered. Those religious Jews, they could not tolerate this new religion. To them it is against, their Jewish faith, their Jewish religion. So that's why they put someone to death, and they are going to kill others as well, get them, put them in prison, and then perhaps kill them. So the Jewish believer was scattered. So when they're scattered, of course, the only one thing that they know is since they are Jew, the gospel is given down, the word is preached to the Jew only. But now we come to the place where, and it said in verse 20, some of them were men of Cyprus and Syria. Now these were Jews who lived in those places. And they speak Greek. They don't speak ready Hebrew. But when, for example, like a sister, Granny here from Norway. Now when she comes here, she don't speak Norwegian to us. Because we don't know Norwegian. And if she's going to live here long, she probably speaks English. Or Chinese. You know, so, and so the same thing with these Jews. So they live in Greek controlled area, or Roman controlled area, but the language at that time is Greek. So they speak Greek, they learn Greek. You know, so if I were to go to the Philippines and stay there for a couple of years, I have to speak Tagalog and learn Tagalog. You know, so this is what we are trying to understand. Who then were they when they come to Antioch, speak unto the Grecian? Who are these Grecian? Are they Grecian as Grecian, or are they Jewish Grecian? So the one thing about it, when you look into the Bible here, you look into the original text, there will be confusion. Remember one thing about your King James Version. There are some errors in translation. Because when the Bible was translated back then, When they move over to England, they have the Church of England. Alright? So, it's a different setting, but they still are very much influenced by the tradition of the current church, which we will see later as well. So, when this scholar or this priest or monk and theologian collect all the Bible together to translate, they try to translate the best they know how using the word. But of course, there were some errors in the word, which is of not great significance. Okay? So, when you come to the word Grecian, some believe that this word Grecian here are the Greek. I mean, they are Gentile. They are not Jews. But some believe that these Grecians are Jews who speaks Greek. So they are called Hellenists. Hellenists. Okay? Hellenist Jew. Alright, so now the question is, there have been some version translated saying that they believe that these Grecians here are actually Gentile proselytes in the Jewish faith. Guaranteed Gentile proselytes into the Jewish faith. Or that they are Jew who speaks Greek. So how do we know? You know, there's a reason why I have all the different versions of the Bible to find out what, how do I know? Who were they preaching to? Were they preaching to the Hellenist Jew, or were they speaking to Greek Gentile people? And I found no answer. Until I said, the only authority that I have is Bible numeric. Numerical structure would tell me what they are. And so I took out my Bible numeric Bible, Dr. Ivan Penning's book. Ivan Penning, and you know that there is a seal in the Word of God. And to find out whether which verse is, or any word that is wrong, it can be established by numbers because of the seal of God in the Bible. You know. So when I took it out and I found out, it was Hellenist Jews. So they are Jews, they speak Greek. Alright. So then we understand. And the hand of the law, verse 21, the hand of the law was with them. And now, some people say, but that's not so important whether they were preaching to the Gentile, the Greeks, or whether they are preaching to a Jew who speaks Greek. Some people say they may not be important. Yeah, but then we want to see the four, who they were preaching to, how the gospel spread. And apparently, which is true, because verse 19 told us that they only speak to the Jews only. Huh? Not everyone heard about the Peter, you know, going up there, went up there to preach to Cornelius the Gentile, right? It would take quite a time. But Stephen stoning were already before that, remember? Remember that? So, we think that, well, verse 19 follow verse 18. It's just a record. Meanwhile, things that happened before this record, after. You understand that? So, Stephen's martyrdom, you know, and persecution came, the people already moved. But some of them stayed. And of course, when God dealt with Peter, and Peter went up to Caesarea and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Alright, so with that we understand. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That tidings of this thing came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent for Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and as much people was added unto the Lord. Let me say this, the Bible says Barnabas was a good man. When the Bible said he was a good man, what does it mean to you and me? Because you understand that not all Christians are good. We need to understand, right? Obviously, not all Christians are good. Not all believers are good. But here was Barnabas, he was a good man. Huh? So it made us understand that And that is Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. In those days, you don't have telephone. You don't call, "Hey, Paul, I'm coming." You don't have telephone. And you don't have email. No SMS. You don't have plane. What do you have? A sailing boat. And Paul lived there in Tarsus. So Barnabas have to do is to go to the port, buy a ticket, go sailing over to Tarsus. When he reached Tarsus, he was looking for Paul. How do you search for a man out there like that? Of course, you go out there, you ask people, "Have you heard about this man called Paul?" And if people doesn't know, you say, "Well, what kind of person was he? What was his trade?" People will know. Because in those days, there are not many people. And of course, there's few of the population are not as many. But it will be hard today. If we are Sister Granny, take a ship from Norway to come to Singapore, you have to spend weeks on a high sea. Right? And by the time Granny is in Singapore, he'll be looking for, "Where is Richard Camp? Now, how is he going to look for me? It's going to be a hard time looking for me." If there is no today's technology, where we can send telegram, or now we don't even send telegram. We just make a phone call, WhatsApp, SMS. "I'm coming, wait for me there. What's such a Saturday?" But Barnabas has to look for me. And just imagine how that in those early days, the gospel went out. And the servants of God, like Paul, he traveled on the high sea, in dangers of what? The great storm and death and peril out there in the sea. And in danger of pirates as well. And he walked on the highway to go to the city. You get robbers on the highway. You just imagine being robbed. Well, I'm glad I wasn't robbed. I was a monk in L.A. But somewhere in Africa, they were robbed. And Brother John Martin, if I remember correctly, in some of the school, they were taken and then they were thrown into a hole. Just like some of the apostles of the early day. Oh, this may happen today too. Not in modern country, but out there in those rural areas in Africa, jungle Africa, or perhaps in India. Alright? And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. You know where Tarsus is? Tarsus is just, on the coastline of south of Turkey. And Antioch is just a couple of miles to the east where Syria is. Today's Syria. Alright. And brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught the people. One whole year. And the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. And the Greek word of course is Christian. Now, let us look at the word Christian here. They were first called Christian in Antioch. But when did the name arrive? Who called the believer Christian? Did the believer say, "Okay, let us call ourselves Christian"? Or was it given by people who are not in the faith and observe their life and say, "Oh, this is a Christian"? What do you think? Do you think that they call themselves Christian? But like today, for example, the anti-message. Anti-message believer. So you see, the believer give themselves that title. Anti-message believer. And that's a funny title, because what do you mean by anti-message believer? What are you? Are you anti-message believer or are you Bible believer? That's a good question, because we talk about anti-message believer and say, the anti-message believer from Brother Branham. But there are those anti-message believers from somebody else too. But for me, for us, I think we should say we are Bible believers. So where did they get a name? And I don't think that they call themselves Christians. They were first called Christian. Apparently they were first called Christian because somebody outside the church gave them that name. Was it a bad name? What's it? Oh, no, it looks like a nickname. Make it a tag name. You know, we have a tag. Yeah, no, your Twitter and your Facebook tag, tag, hashtag. Huh? Hashtag love me, hate me. Hashtag Trump. Or hate Trump, love Trump. You know, no, don't have. So you have a tag. So they were there, their lives were observed by the people. And that's important why our task with our life, do our lives shine before the people of the love of Christ in us. Huh? And they can say, oh, this person is a Christian. Or is it because, you know, your life is so rotten, they don't even know who you are. And if somebody would tell you that the person is a Christian, say, what? He's a Christian? She's a Christian? Ah, I don't believe that. That doesn't look like one, sound like one to me. Remember that. If really our life, when we live for Christ, you'll be targeted. No matter what, you'll be called names. Or people either hate you or love you. They can hate you because you are a Christian they don't like. Because you know you talk to them about Christ and they are fixed to the heart that they are sinner. I don't know how many of you ever shared the gospel to your friend a sinner. When I was in the hospital, in Woolwich Hospital, mental hospital where I work, you know, I tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and need the Lord and need, you know, they'll be all sincere. What are you talking about? I mean, nothing, they just address you by your surname, God. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, what do you mean? You're calling me a sinner? I want you to know I'm a good guy. I give money to charity. You know, some people just don't believe that they are sinners. Well, so you'll be hated, and they'll really hate you for telling them that they are sinners, because the Bible said so. Okay. In verse 27, and in those days, in this day came prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciple, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now let us look at this here in verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch. Do you know when the Bible used the word prophet here? What do you understand? Now, the church began. But nobody knows how God works. Nobody knows, because as God began to bring in these new orders, this new order, getting the people to turn the corner from the law to grace. Right? And you can see that the Jews still were cool, those that were converted, they still hold to the law, they were still holding on to their tradition. Which is not of a problem if they don't make the tradition overriding grace. You know, I mean, you can hold your tradition if you want to. That's no problem. But like for example, when we pray, we always pray with our eyes closed and head bowed, squeezing our eyes sometimes, trying to think of a word to speak. Huh? That's no problem with that tradition. But the Bible never said that you bow your head and close your eyes and pray. The Bible never teaches you. The Bible said what? Every time Jesus prayed, he looked up into heaven. The same thing with the Old Testament. They look up and lift up their voice unto the heaven. How do you lift the voice? You lift up your head. As the Bible says, lift up your head, redemption, draw nigh. Lift up your head and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Your head bowed down and looked down on the floor. You see, the tradition had taught us such a way. Yeah, you're reverent God, that's fine. We understand that. You know, you bow your head before the Lord and you just meditate before Him. But you want to speak to Him, you know, lift up your head and open your eyes and look. Which is something which is quite hard to do. Think about it, it's very hard to do. Yeah? Unless you're saying you're concentrated. But try it at home. What do you do at home? When you get up in the morning and you want to say good morning to the Lord and praise the Lord, open the window, look up to the heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Bless this day, Father. Yeah. I don't know how many of you did that. I mean, you find it so stupid. Maybe you think I'm so stupid. Open the window and say, praise the Lord. Maybe some people think it's childish. No. Because Jesus Himself said, unless you be like the little children. No, I'm not a child of the Lord, I'm an adult. Yeah, you talk like an adult and you look so foolish. You know, because we don't humble ourselves, little children come into the Lord and say, Father, I love you. Thank you for this wonderful morning. Bless this day, Lord. Think about just doing that. I do this every morning, I open my window, look up. And just thank the Lord. One minute or two, just praise the Lord. Look into the sky and say, Lord, bless this day, you know. Just bless this day. It's not hard. Sometimes I don't know our relationship with God. Many of us, we think our faith is just a religion. But I want you to know that our faith is not a religion. Our faith is alive. It's real. In the morning you get used to the Lord and understand the Lord. You know, I mean, we all don't have the privilege like Brother Branham, like Paul, right? Like many of the Old Testament prophets, where the angel will come and talk to them, or where the voice of God will speak to them, right, directly all the time. I mean, look at Brother Branham, he's so privileged. He had that because, well, you know what? Don't get jealous. Because that's God's calling. That's God's gift. That's God's grace. Using the man. Huh? You know, the Bible tells us about John the Baptist. How much do we know about John the Baptist? Did John the Baptist talk about how the angel of God came to him when he was in the wilderness talking to him? You don't read about it. Right? We do not know how many times the angel of the Lord came to him, how God spoke to him when he was out there in the jungle, when he was eating his locusts, munching the locusts, and God talked to him. We don't know. The only thing we know about John the Baptist was, before he was born, the angel of the Lord and the Father. And that's about it. The next moment the Bible said, hey, it was a one man came out of the jungle and started to proclaim, the kingdom of God is come. It's true. But apparently, of course, there, John had a relationship with God. That he was so bold that he was willing to live in a sort of an isolation, so to speak. To be alone with God, maybe out there in the jungle in the little kupa. You know, a little pen made with branches. And just eat locusts and honey. Locusts and honey, I think that's very nice food, that's why. That's very nice for action. You know, locust is green. Locust eat grass, plants. So you don't have to buy vegetables. You just eat the locust and then eat a vegetable. And he takes the honey. I mean, locusts also have protein, and carbohydrates. So he takes honey for energy. Well, a warm man. And I don't know how many times he went. Have he said bubble? Go to a bubble. I don't. His biography, wearing, dressing camel skin. And just be along with God in contact with God, and so much that he could go there and preach and spoke, and I know what he called it, and rebuke Herod. And rebuke the system, rebuke the Pharisees and the religious system. Because he had that relationship. Do not fear that. That's a relationship. That's why I say, the faith is a living thing. It's not something that you just act ritual. Come Sunday at the church. You know, come the 5 times we need to pray, we just pray. And that's, no. Something that is alive in you. Something that is real. See? Alright. So now, this prophet that came, we get the word prophets. Now, in actual, the word prophet actually means a preacher, actually. Basically, in our modern term, he's just a preacher. But the word prophet is more than a preacher. When we go into the Old Testament, they are seers. They are messengers. Because they are in the Bible, but what we understand, they are speaking on behalf of God. They are speaking for God to the people. They carry a message and speak to the people. Is that right? That's what a prophet is. You know? But also the prophet has prophecy, they prophesy, and they see. But now we are in the New Testament. So we can see there is a change of order now began to change. It was only later that Paul gave us an understanding that there are fivefold ministry. But already we have the apostle. In the Old Testament, we don't see apostle. In the New Testament, we have apostle, and then we have evangelists. But now the Bible mentioned that there were prophets from Jerusalem that came unto Antioch. Of course, when there is this transition from the law to the gospel of grace, then we see that the prophets are still there. The preachers are still there. Paul was a prophet and a teacher. Right? So was Barnabas. A prophet is just what prophet means. You know? But then we understand that when we read later on and study the ministry, we know that in the New Testament, prophet means someone who is a preacher with the gift of prophecy. Or one who has given knowledge and perhaps discernment. That's what a prophet is. An evangelist is not a prophet. He doesn't have the gift of discernment perhaps, or he doesn't even prophesy perhaps. Maybe once in a while he discerns and have knowledge, that's about it. But a prophet, in a new context of all we have, is one who not only a preacher, but who prophesies. Edifying the people. Okay, so now he says that there was a man called Agabus. And as the Spirit speak by him, he said that there would be a great famine. A drought that comes and brought about famines of the land. There's no food. And that year was in the year of Claudius Caesar, which was in the year 46 AD to 47. One whole year long. Terrible. But you know, the Bible here said again, let me say it again. I want you to look at the word. It says in verse 28 that there will be a great death throughout all the world. Well, what does it mean, all the world? You know, the Bible is written like this. But don't forget, in those days, the war of the people, they don't know anything about America exists. They don't know about China existing. Why would they know? Because the war is all there. You know, like today, a lot of American, the world to the American are America. You know what I mean, you know? That's why when they say, brother, why are you? You're from Singapore. I say, yeah. Where is Singapore? I say, where is Singapore? You ask me, I said, I ask you, where is Singapore? Somewhere in Vietnam? Somewhere in Vietnam? I said, no. Oh, maybe it's in China. China? You see, the problem that I told them, I said, look, you know that I'm coming here for the convention here. At least you know that if there's a brother of people from Singapore coming here, at least go and look at your elders. They don't. Because to most of America, America is the whole world. In fact, a lot of people don't travel outside America. They don't know anything about America. They think that we're all the Japanese. Huh? Because in the Second World War, the Japanese are, our picture has people about, you know, 5 feet tall or something with slitty eyes like that. You know what I mean? And yellow skin. Eating rice only. Now that's the mentality. And then today, you'll find that a lot of them are so mistaken. That the Japanese are not like that. Huh? Today, of course, I know the Japanese are big and taller is because they eat a lot of beef because they were introduced to the American lifestyle. Yes, it's true. The same thing with the Filipino. The native Filipino was short and small, right? But then because the Spanish went there, and the Portuguese, and the Dutch, and the American, and so the size all big now, different size. Is that right, Sister Valley? Yes. You see, life, people change. But when we look at what the Bible here says, but no, throughout all the world, now this is written from the standpoint, was written by Luke, the physician, this book of Acts. Actually, the book of Acts is a continuation of his book, Luke, the Gospel according to Luke. Now, when you talk about all the world, now basically it's from Judea outwards that he would know. The famine was in Judea outwards to all the known ones around. But if it's not true, then look at the next. Then the disciple, verse 29, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea. So these people who live in Antioch start to, collect whatever they can and send the food down to those in Judea. So how come they were not affected in Antioch? So the famine, centralized will be Judea spreading out. So the main part of it is actually Judea. It is not all over the known world of the Roman Empire. Italy do not suffer. Spain do not suffer. Greece do not suffer. All this. If it is true, then everybody will die already. Because there's no food. Okay. Alright, next chapter now. Chapter 12. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And he saw it pleased the Jew, he proceeded further to take Peter also. There was the day of the unleavened bread. Now, Herod the king. How many Herod are there in the Bible that we know? Yeah, at least there are four. Now this Herod the king, well, his Herod Agrippa, the one who killed James. We have no one called Herod the Great who tried to kill Jesus Christ. And then we have Herod Antipas, the one who beheaded John the Baptist. And then we have Herod Agrippa. And then we have Herod Felix. Alright? And you know who? Why did Herod Antipas cut off John the Baptist's head? Well, because he rebuked him for marrying his brother Herod Philip's wife, Herodias. Now, Herodias, which is a woman. Why is this Herod such a popular name? The word Herod means basically hero. Well, not really much of a hero. With a D behind. I mean, my actual, of course, I'm just play a word, but in fact, the fact, the word Herod means someone who is viewed as a hero. You know, Herod the Great, he loved architects. And what the word Herod also means, someone who looked with his eyes and liked fashions. So Herod the Great actually loved the temple of Jerusalem. So what did he do? He helped to beautify it. Huh? He beautified overlaid with gold and all the wonder. That's what Jesus said. They will come a day and this temple will all be broken down. There will be no one stand upon the other because they were stripped of gold. And that's why it took so long to beautify that temple. You know. How many years was it? 46 years, I believe, that's right? And Jesus can destroy somebody in 3 days and raise it up. You're crazy. But Herod, that's the name. But the evil man, of course they are anyway. So far as I know, it's Herod. But don't remember, as I said, your name has meaning. Your name has meaning. Henry. The name Henry, I hope you know what it means. What Henry is not a bad name, it's a good name. It means someone who is the boss of the house. Good father, good house, all good, you know how to manage. Of course, the name like Ricky. Ricky, not good, they look something like a red, as Bob mentioned, Ricky. Elvis. Elvis sounds like an elf. And now the mischievous Elvis, the pelvis, and the pelvis is moving. You know, it's all that name. Sometimes that's all when you make name, you have a name, choose a name if you want to be appropriate to your life. Or you live your life. You know, I guess when God, you know, my father gave me my name. I always knew how my father gave me my name in Chinese. I was born, of course, my father's home, Yan, Gong, which happened to be the youngest disciple of Confucius, whose name was not Yan, but was changed to Yan. Yes? No?
You read the history.
No, it's not that. Okay, but that's what I was told. You know, and so, Yan means bright and wonderful. Yan, you know, bright and wonderful. Then my father's called me Lian Sing. Lian means to join. Sing means life. So you take that bright and wonderful and joy to life. I have a bright, wonderful life and I have it. You know? Yeah. And of course, when I was baptized, because when I was young, I was fascinated by King Richard, the Lionheart of England. And of the conquest of those days and his, you know, being a good king. I love that name. So I took the name Richard and, okay. Anyway, I live up to the name. Being a lion heart, steadfast, stern and strict and harsh. It's true. And King Richard, the lion heart. So, name means a lot of things. Peter. Why was it called Peter? But not all Peter live up to Peter. But the Peter of in the Bible, yes. Peter means what? Petrus. Not Petra. Petra is the big rock, the big foundation. But he is a little rock. Yeah, at least he's one of them. Petrus. And the Bible says we are all rocks. We are all stones. The builder of the house of God. So, name means a lot of things. Okay. So when Herod killed James, the brother of John, and he saw that he pleased the Jews, so he wanted to kill Peter as well. But it happened to be on the day of the unleavened bread, and so what happened? And when they had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring forth to his people. Now, because it was the week of the unleavened bread, remember the unleavened bread is 7 days, so when there's festivals, you know, the Jews don't deal with this sort of thing. So Herod had to put him in prison and have four soldiers, so altogether 16 soldiers to watch over him. Wow, this man must be a real criminal. Huh? On the wanted list, top of the wanted list, Peter is dangerous. So you need to have 16 soldiers watching over him. Think about it. Alright, you know when you get hardcore criminal, and when they are dangerous, you really need to have a lot of guards watching over him. But Peter was not a murderer, he was not a great criminal, you know. What were you wondering? How did we escape? You know, when you already, you know, tie him up and put him into a prison, lock him up, that'd be so fine. You know. But anyway, Herod won't take any chances. Didn't take any chances. So now, in turning out the past Easter, you see the problem with the Easter? Is it a problem with the word Easter here? There is no Easter. How did the word Easter come? Because in those days the Jews do not celebrate Easter. The Romans do not have Easter. It was all because it was a Catholic tradition. That's why you know that when they translate the Bible, they use those words. Not thinking. What after? What's what should be there? Passover. Not Easter. Intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Now King James was translated, King James Version was translated in 1611, we know that. So they used word that was so traditional. Biradava was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing. What does it mean? You pray without ceasing. What does it mean? You just pray, and don't eat. For morning dinner, you walk, whenever you walk, no. You know how people work. It's not something like that. It's not like what you go into a chant. That's not prayer. Another way, the thing is that as Christians, we do not say prayer. We pray a prayer. And of course, in many religions, they are just more or less repeating. Whether you are, you know, in Buddhism or some other religion, Taoism or something, I don't know. They have beads, just like the Catholic, right? Remember? How many are you seeing? Yeah, I see Chinese monks holding beads. I believe that's Buddhism. Everywhere they press a bead so that they know what is the next word to utter or statement to utter, right? Same thing with Catholic. Huh? Your breast is on a blade with Hail Mary for a grace name. The next one is supposed to be something, I don't know. If you don't have it, then you open a prayer book. Now, we don't have prayer books. We only have some books. No prayer book and message books. So, the way to talk about prayer without singing is that we be constantly mindful of Peter. They are constantly mindful of Peter being in prison, and they are constantly praying to the Lord. So that means by prayer without ceasing. It doesn't mean they pray for 5 minutes and that's it. Huh? Me working out there, they pray. After food, they will pray. While they are cooking, they pray. So prayer without ceasing, always be mindful that Peter is in prison and we want the Lord to have him out. Alright. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keepers before the door kept the prison. Oh, just imagine, he was chained up with two chains. Two chains. Two soldiers. But there's a whole lot of security over here. And outside the prison, there were two soldiers watching. In the prison, he was chained with two chains and two soldiers were there with him. There's high security for this man. A very dangerous man. Yeah, Peter was a very dangerous man. You know why he was so dangerous? But because of the gospel. Because when the gospel converted the soul, Judaism lost a soul. Yeah. And a lot, it's the same thing with religion. And especially in the churches today, many churches, they always, many of them, put fear upon the people so that they would not go out from the church to another church. Because why? If they go out, they lost the money in tithes and offering. I do. Okay? And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hand. Interesting. The angel came into the room, and he was sleeping, sleeping between the two soldiers. And apparently the two soldiers kind of in the drunk state, you know. In the state that they, you know, like they were drunk and they were just knocked out, comatose. And the angel came in and he used his wings. Wake up! Peter! No, of course not. What he does, that the angel just tap him on the shoulder. Come on, get up, Peter. And of course, you know what, I think if people's imagination, when you look, just read the Bible, they will try to picture. I mean, as I said this very many times, when you read the Bible or you read any books, automatically when you're reading it, your mind start to interpret, try to figure out all this, what, how the sin will, you know, appear. You know. All right. So now the angel wake him up. So come on, get up quickly. And the chain just fell off. Of course, that's the power of the Lord. And the angel said unto him, "Gird yourself, bind on your sandals, put on your, you know, dress them and put on your shoe." And so he did. And said unto him, "Cast your garment about thee and follow me. Take a mantle wrapped around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel. But thought he saw the vision. And when he went out for the angel, he just thinking that he was in a vision, he just dropped the rail. You know, when you are in a vision, many times if you have a vision, really, you can't tell whether you are there or you are in another state. You know. Just like when I was in Bombay, I said, when my son was having diarrhea and vomiting, in the middle of the night, when the angel came to my room, and I heard a voice speak to him, "You're welcome." You know, in that moment, you know, after 15 minutes of sleep, because I put my head down about 11:45 or 11:40 at the most, and I slept. I knocked on mirrorly. Then at midnight, I woke up and speak to one. I just got up, man. You know, that moment, you, that spring moment, you're wondering, what's going on, this sort of thing, you know. But because the word, speak the word that was spoken, and because what I've been teaching before that, and that three words just clicked. You know. The presence standing at the feet, at the foot of the bed. And I just turned around and just laid my hand upon my son and just prayed for him. And that's it. Then I got out of bed. I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. I'm going to see what happened. And now put on a long breath. 6 a.m. when I woke up, I look at my watch. I always put my watch in my hand. My watch never left my hand until the cell phone came. All the time I wear, when I go to shower, my watch is always on my hand. That's why I have this band of white in those days, band of white. And I always look 6 a.m. exactly, I woke up. And I found that the Lord, yeah, everything was okay. There was no diarrhea. I went to the toilet and looked, was not, you know, there was no vomit, everything, like for the last 3 days. Then I went to bed and I said, okay, I'm going to get up 8 a.m. And exactly when I woke, 8 a.m., first time I never used alarm. It's just so wonderful of God to just grant me that. So when I woke up, I saw his bed. He was not on the bed. And the bed, she was clean. And when I checked against the toilet, I was fine. And I went out to look for him, and I saw that servant pass by and ask him, "Where's my son?" And he told me, "Yeah, your son has been sick for all these days, but he's already well, and he's now at the rooftop watching the birds fly up there after eating his big breakfast." You know, the experience of what trance is, or a vision, sometimes you just don't really recognize where you are. You know. Alright, so that's what Peter said, is it true? Nobody, is it really true? Or is it that I'm in vision? Huh? And when they were passed, how many of you have dreamt that in your dream was so real? I think many times we have dreams that just come and go, right? Okay, but there are times when your dream was so real, it scares you than nothing. Especially when you're chased by a tiger or something like that, huh? You know? And when you're in the kind of dream, you find that you don't realize that you are actually dreaming. When they were past the first and the second ward, the first and the second section of the prison house, they came unto the iron gate that led unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And for me, the angel just departed from him. Ah, that's kind of good, huh? Just walk and the gate swung open. Lock, gate, just open. Ah, you know, the angel could walk through the gate that is drawn up. Peter cannot. Because Peter don't have the body to walk through. So the gate has to open. The angel could just walk. Because that's how the angel came in, walked through, right? All these walls and gates. Now I'm looking forward to the day when I can walk through the wall. Right? Now, that will be a wonderful when we have a new body. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of hell and from all the expectation of the people of the Jew who want to condemn me." For sure. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, mother of John, whose surname was Marcus, or Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now they came to the house of Mary. Ah, Mary. How many Mary do you read in the Bibles? Mary, mother of John. You know, Mary is not a good name. But a lot of people love the word Mary. Mary came from the word Maryam. Huh? What does Mary means actually? Peter. The word Maryam means Peter. But how did the people love this name Mary now? Was because the Hebrew meaning of Maryam, and later on when people they use some word to use the name in some form called Maria, you know Maria is not or Miriam, actually is the word, but Mary is the English word. So later on we turn to Latin, and they said, the meaning of this Mary means drop of the sky, the drop of the sky, or the star of the sky, or the star of the sea, or the drop of the sea. So they want to give it some different meaning now. But for example, my name Richard, they said, no, it's not Richard the Lionheart. Richard is Richard the Heart. Rich Heart. You know, the people would give name and meaning like this. So, now that's one of the things about names. Alright? So he was married, the mother of John, whose name was Marcus, not John, the brother of James. And who is this Marcus? Who is this John Mark? He happens to be the cousin of Barnabas. And if you read the Bible, the family of Jesus Christ, the family of God, they're all very, very closely related on the earth. Right? James and John is related. Marcus and Barnabas is related. And there are a few others you can see, they're quite related. And that's why when God called Abraham, his descendant, and then there are those that are related to them. So it seems to be, when God chose someone, the family, many of them will come together. Yeah, when the Lord saved me, my brother and sisters, when God pulled me into the message, my brothers just came along into the truth. So when you God saved you, you can let the message go out to your own family and bring them in. And like Cornelius, God did not just save Cornelius and his wife, but his whole household, maybe all the other relatives that were there, and also the servants, the household members. That's very, very wonderful to see how God works. Okay, now let's continue. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood without the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." Now Rhoda was, one of a young believer, and of course she is one of the believers there in the house, and when they opened the door, but she knew it was Peter's voice. So happy was she that she, instead of opening the door for Peter, she got excited and did the report. Anybody said, "No, I cannot be." "No, yeah, I heard it." No one will ask you, "Then don't open the door." Nobody. Then somebody starts to speculate, "You must be an angel." An angel, his angel. Where do we get this thing about his angel? Go to the book of Matthew. chapter 18, verse 10.
And take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Amen. So what do you mean by this angel? We know that Jesus Christ talked about the angel of ministering spirit. Paul said about it. Angel of ministering spirit. And we have angel ministered to us, right? Correct. We have angel ministered to us. And so when they are saying that it is his angels. Oh, the other thing is that many people will think, I mean there are some traditions that believe that we have angels. I have two, okay? One is grace, one is mercy. But there are people who believe that every one of us have an angel. That's all because of what Jesus said. Imagine. And they think that that angel's appearance, the feature look like the person. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. No wonder in the world today we have people who are superstitious and they said that they have seen apparitions when their father died or grandfather died, you know, and they have bad relationship with them, and they see, oh, the ghost of my grandfather coming to me, you know, scare me, you know. Yeah, well, maybe the demonic appearance, you know, devils can change form to scare you in any way. Yeah. And especially when your minds are fearful, visions do appear, because I have seen it. Not even back then, when I was young, when a teenager, you know, before I know the Lord. Whenever there you have the 7 months, the 7 months or 6 months, my 7 months, yeah, 7 months. When people start to, yeah, the gates are how open, huh? And the souls of the dead come visit, right? Come home in, and eat and feast, so that's why you see food all over the place. So, I had that fear when I was young. And I lived in that one house, one living room with one bedroom. So I was in the bedroom with my dad, and the rest of my brother were always sleeping on the floor. We don't have mattress actually back in those days. There's only one old mattress, but the rest sleep on the floor. And my father was the one reading his Chinese Kung Fu drama series of books, you know, book one, book two, all a lot of Kung Fu thing, you know. Even they teach you how, even drawing how to train your arm to be like a piece of iron. I find that interesting, you know, but I don't read Chinese, I only see the picture where he's trying to teach you how to do. So my father will read those storybooks, put a little light on everybody, you know, in his place. So I couldn't sleep because it was the 7 months, I was so scared. And the fear, you know. And everyone was sleeping beside. You know, my father, as long as the light was okay there, I'm trying to go to sleep as far before the light went out. But my father switched off the light. And the room was in darkness. Oh my goodness. When the light was off, I closed my eyes. When I closed my eyes, wow, I could see the visions of three hideous Chinese, what you call demon or deity. One will look like a cow with a cow face, with a horn. You have probably seen it. And one with a long tongue, with a white hair that goes up. Huh? You probably seen it. And then the other with a black face. Man, they come. Oh my goodness, it was as clear as I'm seeing you. When I close my eyes, I turn green, sort of clear, open my eyes. I see them, the city coming down. You know, and they come in, with a long tongue, with a cow. So I said, I told my father, switch on the light. And my father switched the light. When the light turned off, I don't see. So what happened? Well, I have to give excuse, right? I said, oh, there's a lot of big bugs. I know that we have big bugs in our home. Back in those days, in the 60s, yes. You see, because of the fear, you have this sort of image and vision that comes, and it's not nice, actually. Alright, so, all you talk about angel, or some people will say, a theophany. You know, the entire message people will talk about a theophany. You have a theophany? and I have a theophany. But I want to tell you this, our theophany do not exist because it's still in the Word of God. They don't exist separate outside the Word of God. You understand? Only the day when the theophany or the Word spoken, then we will be kept with our theophany, which will mean to say our spiritual body. As Paul said, I have a heavenly body waiting for me. Right? But when you use words that are not quite right, what theophany is not the right word to use. Because theophany means the word theo means God. Phini means manifestation. You see? So using theophany is not right word. So as I said many times, we need to understand expression even in the Bible. Because sometimes the word is not to what we think it is. And Abraham used the word that he knows how, the best he knows how to use it. And we need to understand. Alright. And verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show this thing unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Let me say this here. When they opened the door, they were astonished to see Peter. Well, what in a way, I wouldn't, obviously they would be astonished. But they prayed, didn't they? They prayed, didn't they? Yeah, they prayed. But there might be some, but let me just assume. Maybe there are some say, hey, yeah, I pray, you know? I know, you pray, so what? Some people like to boast. I pray, you know, that's why the person got healed. I pray, you know, that's why the person got delivered. Yeah, I know you pray, so let's give God the glory. Huh? Right? You know, it's not just about our prayer. We just thank God that the person is healed, the person is delivered, because God heard our prayer, and He's faithful to do what He will, and grant us that grace. Yeah. You know, that's why we have a charismatic season. It's all about the preacher who can do the healing or do something, and the eyes are focused on healers. You know, so, yeah. Just watch the YouTube. I saw one just a few days ago, John Malone from Australia. He was picked by a woman who was on a wheelchair who wanted to be delivered. And she had been watching so many of the video of John Malone on the YouTube, and she always sees so many people, so many of those people got healed. Palsy, a wheelchair, crippled. And they are able to get on the wheelchair and walk and only walk and run. So she made this video. And then I have an interview with John Malone, right to his campaign. She was prayed for. And they lift her up. But she couldn't stand. And he said, how are you? How are you doing now? Are you standing? She said, no, I'm not standing, I'm hurting. She was speaking the truth. Because my whole weight you're lifting up, my leg can't even hold my body. Then the excuses was, well, maybe the Lord won't heal you this time. Or something like that. She said, no, and then she came back in for another prayer and all this thing. Nothing will. She asked John, why is it not I'm not healed? I saw your video, every one of them you prayed for were healed. They only showed those things that were not even true. Huh? And what did they do? Of course, like usual, as you know, campaign is about money. It's all about money. Give, and God shall answer your prayer. Give, and God will give it to you. The same thing. And the Word told him, you shouldn't have put this kind of video. You give people a false hope. And I think if I heard, because I didn't really care about listening to what he was saying, but I heard something like, when she asked him, you know, why are you putting all this thing there? Yeah, think that is not even true. He said, you know, you're stirring up the... I said, I'm stirring up the people's faith to Christ that they may get the result from Christ. What? Huh? You don't see this in Brother Abraham's campaign. You know how Brother Abraham deal with it? When he got no vision, a woman come, he just pray for the woman. Go, have faith, right? He don't try to dramatize and all this sort of thing. Like I said on Friday, I tell you how the person when they're palsy and they got healed. Not all are instantaneous. When even the Bible, when Jesus told the woman, the man who was lying on the bed, take up the bed and walk. People think that, hey, immediately take up the bed and walk like this. Wow. Not all cases. He may have a leg that just stood up because the muscle strength are not there in the beginning. All this time, so it takes a little while. So he may have difficulty in the walk and then carry the bed slowly and then carry the walk. Then after a while, maybe he was able to walk properly. But this one that you see on the YouTube, whoo, can run all over the place. Not all cases. Not all cases. And when you read the Bible about the book of Acts, where Peter healed the man was crippled, he said he was dancing right and jumping. People think that he can jump very high. Perhaps, yes, he probably could do something like this. The leg next time was strength. That's for sure. People don't think so. People think everything is instantaneous. Like this idea. Not everything. But you see YouTube, it appears that everything is so instantaneous. There's a lot of lies out there in the world. Let's just finish the rest of this chapter. And he beckoned unto them the hand to hold their peace and declare unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show this thing unto James. And to the brethren, and he departed and went to another place. Who is James? Acts 1:13. Let's go to Acts 1:13 and see what Bible here said in Acts 1:13 anyway. Come on, read.
Acts 1:13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James.
Okay, let us go to Matthew 10:2. Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. So we understand.
Matthew 10:2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are this. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother.
So now we have, how many James do we have in the Bible? Well, you have James, son of Alphaeus, James, the brother of John, we have James, the brother of Jesus God, we can say that, the half brother. So he said, go and show this thing unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. So they're always talking about those apostles that he, the circle that he knows. Go and show to James and all the rest. But another thing is that because this is Jerusalem, and who is the pastor of the church of Jerusalem? James. But which James was he? The brother of John, or was it the brother of Jesus Christ? How many? Who do you think it is? But then it's, well, sometimes you know it's kind of hard which James is referring to. Was he referring to the brethren? Was he referring to the circle? Remember that one of the brother, Jesus has a brother called James. Alright? But he was never one of the 12 apostles. He was not one of the disciples. The inner circle, so to speak. So maybe that this James is the pastor of Jerusalem, the church. But I would think that here Peter was referring to those 12 in a group. I mean, they're still there. I don't know whether Bartholomew, Judah, Thomas has actually moved out yet to the other countries. That's interesting when you read the study of scripture. Alright, let's go on. And then he departed, went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Now, Herod was a boring man. Huh? He wanted to please the Jew. That's why he got Peter. But now Peter escaped. Now, blame it on the keepers. Yeah, that, you know, that's a problem with people like this kind of a king. And so those keepers, their head cut off. And for that, then he went down to Caesarea. He was from Judea. So he went down to Caesarea and there he pulled. Because in Caesarea it was a good place, so he goes there for his summer vacation. Go there for his, you know, stay. You know, some people have summer house, but they're going to move from one place to another in the summer just to relax. And Herod was highly displeased with those of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desire peace, because the country was nourished by the king's county. Now, Herod was not happy with those people at Tyre and Sidon because of the trade issues. You know, the trade issue, the food was supplies from Judea to them. And whatever thing that Herod what comes. But because there was a problem, political problem. So now the people of Sidon knew that Herod was angry. So they decided to have somebody else replaced. So they took this man called Blastus. And with that, of course, they came down to meet him to seek for peace. And verse 21, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. So they came down from Tyre and Sidon. You know where Tyre and Sidon is? It's in the north. Caesarea is in the south. So they came down, and of course, because the messengers were telling him, Herod, that they are coming down to meet you, so he sat on his throne, dressed very well, and sit there. To give a speech. So when they came, the people, he gave them a speech. And the people give a shout and say, this is the voice of a God and not of a man. He made the angel of the Lord smoke him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But those days, you know, God is dealing all this thing very, you know, very clearly and straightforward. No delay, nothing. You remember that video that was sent to you regarding the Congolese pastor, preacher who challenged Jesus Christ, so to speak, because he was worshipping William Branham and said William Branham is God. He has an altar, and the Catholic had an altar with a picture of William Branham there, and he prayed before that picture. And the Lord struck him right there and there. When he was preaching to the public and challenging Jesus Christ openly to take his life if it's not true. And he got it. He received it. And when he died, a few months later, he couldn't believe it. Wolves were eating him up. His body began to bloat. You know, when you get the body bloat so fast, that's not possible. And nobody dared to touch him, in, you know, because so bloated, so rotted away. And that's the same thing with Herod here. What the Bible says, he was eaten of worm. That means decay set in very fast. Scary. But the word of God, Lord, grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem and go back to Antioch, where they have fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And you know, later on between them, there's a problem. John Mark. So while we thank the Lord for that, and the Lord bless his word. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the record of the early church, the history. That, Lord, we may understand and learn how that your Spirit moves in the life of your apostles, the church, getting the word out and establishing the life of the people in the truth and the foundation of the church in Christ Jesus. And all that we learn, Father, may we grow in grace, may our spirit and our faith be strengthened, Father, in that which you have given us. We thank you, Father. Bless the rest of the day. Now we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.